do appreciate the prayer tonight and ask an interest in your continued prayers as we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. You know, we have prayer requests. It's usually my lot that while the brother's praying, something else pops into my mind that I should have mentioned. maybe I'll learn someday to make a list ahead of time. But anyway, Brother J.C. let us know that the St. Andrew Church last weekend voted to call him back as pastor, but they also voted to call Brother Jimmy Albertini as assistant pastor. And they are planning, the plan is at the moment, to have an ordination sometime in May. So we'll see how that goes. We let him know that there's 3 weekends already taken for meetings. Now, that doesn't mean they can't have their ordination, but it does mean that we got meetings going on already scheduled. So, okay. I mentioned that so that we could be praying for St. Andrew Church and Brother Albertini as he takes a more active role in ministering to the church at St. Andrew. Ephesians chapter 1. Last week, we talked about, I think I introduced the idea that so many times we hear people talk about how blessed they are. And usually, they're talking about some timely blessing. I guess amused might be the word. Sometimes I'll hear or see somebody put on Facebook or say, God is good. And usually that's another indication that they've got some kind of blessing here temporally to enjoy. And that's great. We do have wonderful blessings in this life. God is so good to us. He does bless us in so many ways. But those blessings all together, I don't care how good they are here, those temporal blessings that we have, put them all together and it's still just pocket change compared to the eternal blessings we have in Christ and what God has done for us through his darling son. So as we noticed last week, how that according as he hath chosen us, God chose us. Isn't that marvelous? That God would have mercy and grace and has chosen us in his Son. That we should be holy. We're not now, except in the sense of what God's done for us. We still have this old nature about us. And this old nature about us is not getting any better. Years ago, I remember hearing a preacher say that this old flesh is not getting any better. And I thought, well, surely. You know, the more we learn and the more we... No, it still can rear its ugly head. It all comes back to us sometimes whenever things happen. So, but what he's done for us, that we should be holy and without blame. Oh, without blame. That gets me, don't you? That we could be in such a condition that we're without blame. That when Jesus died for our sins, he took them away. He paid the debt completely. Nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. Oh, how wonderful that is. Even in Hebrews, when he talks about he's not ashamed to call us brethren, that every time I think about that, it does something to me. That what he's done for us is so complete that he's not ashamed. He is holy, holy, holy. And he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's a marvelous work that he's done. chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And we talked last week about when that happened. That we, not only were we chosen, but our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. All right, verse 5. Having, well, that sounds like it's already done. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, that idea, good pleasure of his will, or according to his will, three times, I believe it is, verse 5, we just read. Verse 9, the idea is repeated. Verse 11, the idea is repeated. I wonder why God chose to repeat that. I wonder if it's because a lot of people choose to overlook that. And three times, you know, twice should get your attention. But when you see it three times close together, there's a purpose for it. Of course, there's a purpose for all of God's word. But especially this, that it's according to his good pleasure. It's according to his will. The sinner was passive. And glorious it is, as it is that we're the happy recipients of it, we're passive. We receive it. What a blessing. What a blessing. Don't you wish so many others could see it that way? Having predestinated us. Oh, there's so many in the realm, and I use the term loosely, in Christianity, there's so many that have an idea that there's something you can do, there's some recipe you can follow, there's some condition to be met, there's some words to be said, something you have to do to become one of those. And yet the word says he's already done it. Paul was inspired to write it 2,000 years ago, and it had been done way longer than that because it was done before the foundation of the world. Now, I know you know that, but I hope you still rejoice in it. Predestinated. I may not pronounce the word right, pro horizo, to determine beforehand. To determine beforehand. And predestination. So the destination is determined beforehand. See, we're not talking about absolute predestination, are we? We get accused of that. You start using the word predestination, and some people get all upset that there's folks that gets upset when you talk about it's just the destination, not the journey. I've had that happen. But the Bible's clear. He didn't predestinate everything. Okay? Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Let's see. Jeremiah 7:31. I'm going to go to two of my very favorite proof texts where God through his prophet says, denies absolute predestination. Jeremiah 7, let's begin reading in verse 30. Jeremiah 7, verse 30. For the children of Judah have, now you know this is Jeremiah's prophecy. And the children of Israel were just so disobedient during that time. Remember, it was during Jeremiah's prophecy that there was, when there was no remedy. Okay? Jeremiah had prophesied to them that they would be carried away captive. And they didn't hear, they didn't repent, and so they were carried away captive. All right? So back to Jeremiah 7. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Can you imagine having their abominations in the house of God? And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And listen to this. To burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. You know, that false, that idol that they worship, Molech, was a graven image. It had its arms stretched out in front. And they'd lay those babies on those arms, and they'd have a fire burning in its belly. And those babies would roll down those arms into the fire. You talk about gone astray. Wow. So, they built the high places to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my heart. Now, don't tell me that God has predestinated all the acts of men. They were doing things, he said, it never entered into his heart. And then go over to Jeremiah 19 and 5. Very much the same thoughts are given in this chapter, 19:5. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. So it says it never entered into his heart, and it never entered into his mind. Clearly, the Word of God tells us God did not predestinate all the acts of men. He's not responsible for that. Having predestinated us, I want to deal with just the first part of that tonight. So we noticed, first of all, that this the definition of the word means to determine beforehand. And it's the determination of their destiny, destination. Okay. So as we think about how that God has determined beforehand, and he did it sovereignly. No interaction from the sinner. God chose to do that. The song we sang in introduction really laid it out, didn't it? So, it's determined beforehand. There's four other places where this word for predestination, predestinated, there's four different places. There's some other places that are close to the meaning, but I want to just deal with these four tonight. And what I'm after is God's predestination. Okay, not all of these say the same thing, but it helps us to the idea of God's predestination. And by the way, we're not talking about double predestination, like some might refer to, where God predestinated some to go to heaven and he predestinated some to go to hell. He didn't do that. You know, Romans chapter 9, I believe it is. In the interest of time, let's just 9:21, start there. Well, let's back up here to Romans chapter 9 is a great, probably one of the lengthiest, maybe the lengthiest lesson in all the scriptures on the doctrine of election. Okay, of course, he speaks about Pharaoh, for this cause have I raised thee up to show my power. Okay, but I have to jump in here somewhere. Verse 19, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, over the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Didn't God have that power? He's God. He's sovereign. Okay? And the scriptures tell us what he did. And he has every right to do with his creation what he will. Because he's God. We're not. We oftentimes people want to be their own God. Okay? All right. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, boy, didn't he do that with Pharaoh? Didn't he do that with Nebuchadnezzar? Didn't he do that with Belshazzar? You know, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson? Yeah. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, how were those vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? By their own works. By their works. God didn't predestinate them to do those things. It was by their own works. They were fitted. And guess what? All of us were that way. God had mercy on some of us. That's the amazing thing about grace, isn't it? He saved anybody. All right? What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy? That's us. The vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Those that are not afore prepared unto glory are left in their sins. God doesn't predestinate them to hell. He just passed over them. He left them where they were. And bless your hearts, if he hadn't had mercy on us, we'd be one of them. Isn't that something? Doesn't that make you want to shout praises to God? Of thanksgiving for his mercy and his grace upon us? Yeah. So predestination is a glorious thing. If we're blessed to understand who he is and what he has done for us, that gives us assurance that he did it for me. How wonderful. How glorious. And I've never heard anybody say, I wish God hadn't chosen me. I've heard people complain about the doctrine of election, and yet they expressed a love for God. Well, if they understand the truth, if they've got a love for God, they are one of his children. It's not something they've got to do. It's not something they've got to qualify for. Bless your hearts. If they have a love for God, he's already had mercy upon them. He's already chosen them. Jesus has already paid the sin debt for them. They will be in glory. Because all that he died for will be with him without the loss of one. Whether they believe or not, whether they had the opportunity to hear the gospel or not, whether they had the mental faculties to understand the gospel, whether they were aborted in the womb, whatever the case might be, all that Jesus died for will be with him in glory.
Right.
Hallelujah to the grace of God. So let's notice some of these verses. We talked about the fact that there's not a double predestination. There's not an absolute predestination. So let's look at how scriptures in these several verses use the subject of predestination. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, the apostles have been preaching. The council was upset. They brought the apostles before them. The council was trying to stop them from preaching. Let's just drop down here to verse 23. And being let go, this is Acts 4:23. And being let go, they went to their own company. This is the apostles were let go. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. In other words, they charged them not to preach in Jesus' name anymore. And when they heard it, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Listen, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That same word for predestination is used here. So I told you not everything is predestinated, but there were some things that had to occur in order to agree with the prophet. I mean, the prophets had spoken. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And they pierced my hands and my feet in Psalm 22. So there's a picture there of Roman crucifixion. It had to happen. The prophet has spoken. All right? And so some things God determined beforehand to be done. Not only the destination of his people, but in bringing that to pass and how it would be accomplished, he speaks here of something that he had determined beforehand to be done. Okay? So we see that there are some things, according to the purpose of God, that he did purpose to do. He determined to do. All right? Determined beforehand. Let's go from there to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We love Romans 8, don't we? I would that every Primitive Baptist could memorize Romans chapter 8. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Romans chapter 8. And we know that verse 28. We know with all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called. According to his purpose. Now that says a lot right there. That talks about who God's going to work for. And later on in this, he's going to say, what should we then say to these things? So the all things are the these things that are mentioned later, or he wraps it up. So in between here, we're talking about the all things. I know a lot of people find comfort in somebody saying, well, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Well, God can bring something good out of terrible things. He can do that. But I am not going to tell somebody every time something bad happens, well, you know, that just, all things work together for good. The all things is what God purposed to do from the foundation of the world, and he brought it to pass through his Son, and it'll be to the eternal enjoyment and glory, eternal enjoyment for us, and eternal glory for God. All right, so it says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Well, we know who's going to love the Lord, don't we? Those that he loved first. Okay? To them who are the called. Okay? He's going to call them. Even if he has to do it in the womb. He's going to call them sometime between conception, all right, and death. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What he's working is those things that are according to his eternal purpose. And they are definitely for our good. And he will do that. For whom he did foreknow. Now, Paul expresses this a little differently than we found over in Ephesians 1 and 4. But he's teaching the same lesson in him. Okay? According to, for whom he did foreknow. He set his love upon them. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. So, going back to Ephesians, according as he had chosen us. Okay? Same people, same ones. As a matter of fact, for whom, as you go through Romans chapter 8, as you go through this section of verses, the whom, all of these 5 points, it's the same people. None are left out. All of his people are included. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. Determine beforehand their destination. Isn't that simple? Straightforward? Okay. He also did predestinate for what purpose? To be conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now there's only one begotten of the Father. And so, but there's a big family. And the second half of Ephesians 1 and 5 talks about how the rest of us got into the family. But I'm not talking about that tonight. The adoption. Okay. All right. For whom he did foreknow, them also did he predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Time is not at play here. As far as, you know, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. But there were many of God's people that lived before that. And so as far as this time world, you know, we're always thinking in terms of time, in terms of before this and before that. But God chose all of his people at one time. I'm not sure if I can say time. All right? As one event, okay? Chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he purposed to send his Son to save them. So he is the firstborn. He is the firstborn. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the firstborn. And we're in him. For whom he did foreknow them, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's notice 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is another use of the word, but it's used differently here, or expressing something else about something that was predestinated. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Now let me back up a little bit. Let's go back to verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This is, again, something that God predestinated, all right? And he uses the word, or the English here is ordained, okay? Determined before time. That the original word behind that is this predestination, all right? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. That's God purposed it. Okay? That he would send his Son to this world. The glorious gospel that we rejoice in, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, came to save us from our sins. The angels proclaimed, I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He said, I do always those things that please him. He went about doing good. He went about demonstrating the power that God, that he had. The fact that proved that he is God, manifest in the flesh. He did all that the Father sent him to do. And on the cross he said, it's finished. Hallelujah. And everything that was done was what God sent him to do. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And so those that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, Jesus redeemed them by his own blood. He's perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. We rejoice in that, what God has done for us. So come back to Ephesians chapter 1. Not only in verse 5 do we see that he's having predestinated us, but in verse 11. Now let me back up to verse 10. Well, let's get verse 9. Since we were reading about the mystery of his will in 1 Corinthians 2, Ephesians 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, right, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. It just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Aren't you thankful tonight that he's opened our heart and our mind? He's given us the new birth. He's blessed us to know him. He's blessed us to hear his gospel. He's blessed us to know what he's done for us. He's blessed us to know that he chose us in Christ, that Christ has redeemed us by his blood. Heaven will be our home. And it wasn't anything we did, but it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. I'm so thankful that God had mercy upon me and blessed me to know of his predestination. I'm so thankful. I know it's nothing in me. It's not something I figured out. According to his mercy, he saved us. And I'm so thankful tonight that we can read the clear words of his scriptures, his inspired words that are eternal truths that are never going to change. We can read it. We can rejoice in it. We can trust in it. And when the time comes, we can lie down in death, rejoicing in what God has done for us. May God bless you, is our prayer.